Hi, friend, and welcome to the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a place for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a business that integrates into your life instead of taking over it. So let me ask you something. How would it feel to unapologetically chase your definition of success? See, I'm on a mission to do this, and I want you to come along with me in becoming an unapologetic entrepreneur. This is someone who has defined success on their terms and is committed to setting boundaries and making progress towards achieving that success. I'm your host, Amanda McKinney, and after several years of entrepreneurship, I found myself chasing someone else's definition of success, and I actually couldn't answer the question, what does success look like for you, Amanda? This started me on a journey to understanding this answer for myself, and I now understand that our definition of success, it evolves over time. But the key is to always know what our definition is in each season of our life. And on this podcast, I am dedicated to exploring how other entrepreneurs have shown up unapologetically and sharing my journey, of course, too. So pop in those earbuds so we can explore topics such as success, goals, mindset, of course, marketing, and money. You will walk away inspired through stories and ready to take action through clearly defined steps. So let's dig in. Hi, friend. You're going to love this podcast interview. It is such a treat. Get ready. And it's all about being grateful for what you have, yet also striving for more. Because chances are you want more as an entrepreneur. But if you're anything like me, as soon as you think about wanting more, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not grateful for what I have. And you can actually be both. And this is the topic that I'm talking about with my guest, and she is the perfect person to talk about it. We dig into really understanding what more is for you, because like I just said, you probably want more and maybe feel guilty about that, but you probably want more in your business. But the key is to understand what that more is, and everyone's going to have a different one. Maybe it's money, maybe it's time, maybe it's whatever it is, but what is the more for you? Because once you understand what that more is, you can actually pursue it in your life and of course in your business. And this topic came up when I connected with my new friend, Molly Asplin. Oh my gosh, when we connected, she is one of those people that, you know, you just wish for these types of connections where you never know who you're going to meet in the entrepreneurship side, especially on podcasting when someone wants to interview you or you want to be on their podcast, and you just never know how you're going to connect. But I had a good feeling about this one when I reached out to Molly and asked if I could be on her podcast, and she said yes. So her podcast is Dream It, Do It, and my episode was out. I'll make sure to link it in the show notes, but it is such a great podcast. I have been binging it ever since I found it, which was before the podcast interview, and gosh, I just love all of what she puts out because she's so real. She is so real. She just had her third baby. Actually, at the time of this recording, she had not had the baby yet, but she has since had her little son. And so she is a mom of three. And she has recently even talked about on her podcast, like adjusting to being a mom of three and being an entrepreneur. And I just love how real she is. So again, she's just one of those connections that it's just lovely. And what I was thinking about as I was reflecting on our connection and really how it's grown since these podcast interviews happened is that Molly is one of those people who walks her talk 100%. You know, some people can say things and follow through sometimes. Like, she really has a passion. Like, she talks about this often on her podcast. She has a passion for supporting other women. And I can confirm with 100% confidence and experience that she really does do this. And I say this because I was a new connection to her. We interviewed each other for the podcast. We did a swap on the same day. Sometimes podcasters do this, and it was really fun. So she interviewed me, then I interviewed her. And so we connected basically in a day, and we have stayed connected ever since. And as soon as she knew that I had written a book, she jumped on board with helping me promote this in a way that not other people have done. She immediately was like, "What can I do to help you? I can send an email for you. I can talk to you on Instagram. I can do this." And she had all these ideas. And I just was amazed because not everyone shows up like this. And of course, it wouldn't work if everyone did. But she really believes, like, and she wants to support other women entrepreneurs, and she really showed up for me in that way. And so, Molly, first and foremost, thank you. Thank you for showing up and doing what you do. Your passion and your fire for encouraging other people is unbelievable, and it has impacted my life, and I hope it continues to impact other people's lives as I share your message. And it's just wonderful because she's gone above and beyond, and it's one of those things because it's important to her. So that's, you know, part of her more, what she wants in her life, and she really shows up to make it happen. So it was really, really fun to experience that firsthand. And you've heard me say it many times, but I am all about collaboration over competition. And this is exactly what happened. And so I want to encourage you, please go over and listen to Molly's podcast, Dream It, Do It. Make sure to subscribe, leave her a review. Let's show her some love, because she showed me some love in such a sweet way. Like, I want to give it back to her threefold. I want you to follow her on Instagram. You're not going to be disappointed. She shows up in just her real life, everyday style. She talks about being a mom, a wife, an entrepreneur. Like, if that's your jam, like, go follow her. She is wonderful. So let me stop raving about her and tell you a little bit more about her credentials, because that's probably what you're curious about. So Molly is an entrepreneur, a wife, a mom, and an overall lovely human being, as I've said. She is also a podcast host, and she is a coach for entrepreneurs and leads a team of over 1,200 coaches too. It's pretty amazing what this woman does. And like I've said, her passion is helping women find fulfillment in their life. And she is a firm believer in helping women create options for their families, which I think is so lovely. And specifically, financial flexibility, location flexibility, and time flexibility, which I really love how specific she is with that. And you can see this passion come through in seriously everything that she does. Molly and I also have a similar background, that we both started in the corporate world and then ventured into entrepreneurship. And like everything else in her life, she is really open with this journey. And she talks about being a mom and an entrepreneur. And again, I highly, highly recommend listening to her podcast, Dream It, Do It, and following her on Instagram. So I'll have everything linked in the show notes. But without further ado, my dear friend, I'm going to pass the mic over to Molly so you can hear her talk about being grateful, yet still striving for more. So here you go. Molly, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I cannot wait to talk to you. But before I ask you all the questions, can you introduce yourself and tell us how you serve your clients?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here, Amanda. Let's see. My journey really started, I kind of have that employee to entrepreneur story. I started a corporate job right out of college, and I really thought that I would climb the corporate ladder and wear my pencil skirt with my Starbucks cup every day and go into the office. I have an accounting degree. So I was in corporate finance, and I just thought that I would climb the ladder of the large corporation that I was working at until retirement. And, you know, that's what was really modeled for me growing up, was just kind of like traditional work, you know, give it your best, work as long and as hard as you can, climb the ladder, super loyal to one company. And so that's just what I thought I would do, because really I hadn't seen anyone do anything different.
Right.
And I got into my corporate career. I was probably 4 years in when I just started having these thoughts. And the thoughts were, every morning when I would drive to work, I just kept having this pit in my stomach, kind of visceral feeling of, is this really it? And I was like, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? But I didn't tell anyone.
Right.
Because I was like, oh, yes, it is. Like, this is my degree, and this is what I'm supposed to do. And what else would I even do? Because I didn't know. But those feelings, they got a lot stronger. And I kind of started to just get really curious with myself. I started doing some personal development and listening to podcasts, such as like one like this, without even knowing it, like without mm-hmm. even knowing, like just kind of doing some exploration. And then those thoughts just got stronger and stronger. And so I ended up, starting my own health and fitness business very, very passively on the side. Kind of called it my fun hobby, which Amanda would not like.
A lot of people do it, and it's easy to do at the beginning because that's really what it is.
Yeah, and that is what it was for like a year. But very quickly after I started to get a taste of that schedule freedom and like, oh, this is work I get to design. I can put my creative spin on it. I don't have to be super polished corporate accounting Molly. I was like, this is what I'm meant to do. And I need to find a way to pivot and make this my full-time thing. And so that's what I did. And it turned out to be one of the best decisions because now I feel like I'm living a dream. And it's like, I'm just glad that I, you know, took that jump, so to speak.
Oh, I love that you took the jump too. I'm yeah. so glad. And, you know, that's a really hard thing to do, you know, mm-hmm. to, especially like when you were talking about the example that you've seen in your life of work hard, stay at the same company, climb the ladder, retire, all the things, right? That yeah. a lot of us have that story. Yeah. And if we see that, that whole mentality of work hard, get the paycheck, XYZ, almost sets us up for that mentality. And I'll speak for my own experience because I don't want it to seem like I'm trying to project this onto you. But the example that I had in my life was very much work hard. It takes hard work in order to make money, to be successful. It's hard work.
Sure.
And I do believe that we have to do hard work. However, I don't know about you, but the first time that something felt easy in my entrepreneurship journey, I then was like, I can't charge for that. It's too easy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, so all of a sudden I have this idea of if it's not hard, then that it's not valuable enough. Whereas sure. as an entrepreneur who's trying to build a business to integrate into your life and follow a passion, there's going to be things that are easy. Like me showing up yeah. to talk to people on a podcast is yeah. super duper easy for me. I'm not saying it's mm-hmm. easy for everyone, but it doesn't make it less valuable. Have you run into this?
Yes. Yeah. And I think it boils down to when you find something that your natural strengths align with, mm-hmm. like your innate strengths, like for you, it sounds like communication, right? I think when you uncover that and lean into it and put yourself out there with it, and that can be the hard part.
True.
I think I realized, wow, I do have this natural strength of talking to people about health, fitness, and mindset goals. And it's so easy and fun for me. And oh, people are willing to pay for it.
Right.
And so, and that was kind of weird for me in the beginning because I had done it for free for a very long time.
Right.
And then I was like, maybe there's more to this. And indeed there was. So I think you're definitely onto something with that philosophy.
Yeah. I mean, there's just something about that can get in our mind. And especially if, like you said, a lot of us start doing things for free to test it out. There's nothing wrong with that. But depending on how long we do it, it's harder to reverse that train of like, oh, I've been doing this for free for a year. Now I'm going to start charging people. It gets all kinds of weird when you're charging people mm-hmm. for something that you used to do for free that also feels easy for you.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
Totally. Yep.
So one of the things that I really connected with, so your podcast is amazing. I hope everyone goes and listens to it.
Thank you so much. I'm going to make
sure it's listed in the show notes for sure. And one of the things that I heard through, and I don't remember exactly where it was, but I read or heard you say something along the lines of being grateful yet also striving for more. And I had an episode on my podcast at the beginning of this year about how we should be striving for contentment.
Yeah.
And after that episode, I actually heard from quite a few people and people were like, oh, I've never thought about contentment as a positive thing. Mm-hmm. And this idea of being grateful and content with what we have doesn't mean you can't strive for more. So talk to me more about that because now I'm just really excited to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I think that there's a big difference between contentment, which I think is desirable and needed, and complacency.
Oh.
And what I've really learned about myself is when I get complacent, i.e. doing the same things over and over again, rinse and repeat, autopilot, very much what I was doing in my corporate world. Yeah, the tasks were challenging, but it was very much, you know, these are your KRAs. This is your job description. This is what you're working on. I was in accounting. So it was like month end every single, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm challenged, but I'm not, right? Like I'm kind of like a hamster on a hamster wheel. Just like, here I go again. And, what I've learned is when I'm putting myself out there in new ways and trying new things and like really challenging myself, I'm better. I'm happier. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. That was kind of scary, but that was kind of fun to learn that. And I think a lot of women are missing that. And I think we, you know, because we saw maybe our parents or we saw like a more traditional path and then we just never get out of it. And I also believe that when you're in high school and college and even right after college and you're getting your first job, you're like going through all these changes pretty quickly. And maybe you get married or maybe you buy your first house and it's like change, change, change. You're kind of just in this zone. And then I don't know when it happens. For me, it was in my upper 20s. It was just like life stayed the same. And I was like, hey, I'm married. We have this house. I have this good job. I've checked all the boxes, but I'm kind of bored.
Right.
And I think a lot of people don't even let themselves say it. Yeah. But that's when I started to feel just very numb and very like not excited about my days. And it wasn't that I wasn't grateful, but it boiled down to you can be grateful for what you have and want more. And more can be more time freedom. It could be more, you know, strengths with an entrepreneurial journey or something like that. But I think you got to figure out what your more is and you got to lean into it. Otherwise, you really do, you know, go through the same motions over and over again. And I just think it's boring.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so great. You know, a lot of people that listen to my podcast and that work with me, it's really interesting because I think we attract people that we can help, which often leads to like opposites, right?
Yeah.
So I am someone who can stay very, very focused on a project and follow through and all of that. A lot of my clients really identify with the multi-passionate label.
Okay.
Which the more I'm in entrepreneurship, the more I totally get that. And I have multiple ideas too. I'm just good at focusing on one at a time. But a lot of people have that idea of like, I have lots of ideas and lots of passions and lots of all of this. And so that multi-passionate title really resonates with them. And the reason I'm saying this right now is because I bet that person who is really that identifies with multi-passionate or driven gets bored. Like that's the exact person who's going to be like, oh, because there was so much action, so much change for so many years. And then all of a sudden it's like, nothing's happening. Mm-hmm. Nothing's happening here. What can I do? And it probably leads people to entrepreneurship more often than I probably even know because it's that idea of like a side hustle that that starts to pop up. But I really appreciated also that you said like, what is your more? Like you can be grateful, but what do you need more of? And I really appreciate that distinction because that allows it to separate. So like, I'm grateful for everything I have in my life, but you know what? I want more peace. I want more quality time with my friends. I want more money. I want more traveling. I want like, what is the more? So how did you figure out what your more was?
Yeah. I remember going into my corporate job. I was a fitness instructor as well. So I would teach fitness classes some mornings before my corporate job. And I taught this spin class, this cycling class on Monday mornings, like super early, like 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. or something. And then I would go to a coffee shop before, like, because I had like an hour to kill before my full-time job. And I would look around in that coffee shop and I saw people like working there from their computers. And this was way pre-pandemic. Like this wasn't so much the norm. And I was like, what are these people all doing?
I used to think that all the time. Like, I wonder what they do.
And I would get like my journal out and sip my coffee and just kind of read a personal development book or something and just kind of wonder. And I'm like, what if I could do something like this where I have location freedom? I'm thinking that they mostly have time freedom. Like it seems like they're kind of designing their days. And I was so drawn to that. I was like, I just want to choose. And I want to do work that I care about. And I want to choose when I want to do it. Because it's not that I'm not a hard worker or that I just want to go sit on a beach all day. Right. It's like I want to do meaningful work that brings me joy on my own time. And that like location freedom was also really appealing to me. And so that has always been my more. And it's funny because now I have, you know, two kids, one on the way. It's still my more is to be able to work when I want to work. Yes. And from wherever, like I can take a Friday off whenever I want, mm-hmm. or, you know, I can work a little bit if we're like traveling somewhere, and it's like, I get to choose. Like, I love that high level of autonomy. And I think that's why entrepreneurship has really worked well for me, and probably you too, Amanda, because mm-hmm. I can be very disciplined with, okay, this is the time that I have to work. Mm-hmm. What are my highest value needle drivers that I need to get done? And let's go. And then I can go do whatever else I want. You know, yeah. I'm just like that idea of freedom is, it's always been my more.
Oh, that's great. What I'm hearing is that you are someone who, when you have a curiosity, you allow yourself to explore it.
Yeah.
So like you realized, is this enough? When you were driving to your corporate office and putting on that pencil skirt, and I'm imagining mm-hmm. myself at the same moments of like, is this really what I'm going to wear for the rest of my life? I haven't mm-hmm. worn a pencil skirt since. I don't know about you.
But... sounds terrible now.
Right. They can look real cute, but I don't want that anymore. Right. And so, you allowed yourself to be curious about doing something differently, even though you hadn't seen it before. And then when you saw people in a coffee shop, you allowed yourself to be curious about what is it about this experience that's got me curious? Because there's a lot of people who would walk into a coffee shop, order their coffee, sit there, do the thing and leave and never think about, I wonder what these people do and how I could do that. You know, but you were curious enough and allowed that curiosity, which then showed you the answer of what is more. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. And I also had the kind of disgruntledness about sitting in a cubicle, doing, you know, behind spreadsheets, running into meetings that I just didn't really care about. So I feel like you got to recognize kind of your pain and be okay, like saying that out loud or thinking it out loud. Mm. And then also it's like, okay, but what is this pain? What do I really want? And for me, it was, you know, the freedom, but it's okay to recognize when something just isn't feeling right. And Amanda, I know you had that too, when it's like, this isn't my forever. And so, okay, what do I want to pivot to?
Yeah.
What am I actually seeking?
Hey there. I promise to get you back to the great episode you're listening to really soon. But first, I've got a question for you. How does success feel to you? This is a question that I didn't answer for many years in my business, but once I did, it changed everything. And I want the same for you. So I've created a free guide that will help you define success on your own terms in just 20 minutes. Go to amandamckinney.com/success to download the free guide so you can define success on your own terms and then unapologetically pursue that definition. Okay, let's jump back into the episode. Oh gosh, yes. And you know, I'll just speak again on my own experience because I've gone through several pivots of starting my business and within my business having pivots. And each one of them comes with so many emotions.
Yeah.
Because at least for me, I'm like, who am I going to disappoint mm-hmm. by making this pivot? Who's going to be mad? Is it going to be okay on the other side? Like whatever my decision is. Because there's so many things, like at the time of this recording, I'm going through a pivot in my own business of changing different offerings that I have and things are changing. And it's like, oh my gosh, what if my business fails? Like that's a legitimate thing that pops up in your mind. However, what I really like about what you said is you have to be honest.
Yeah,
you have to be honest with yourself. And that is often, as silly as it sounds, very hard to do when you're in it and like taking steps and like moving forward. And it's like, hold on, I have to pause to figure out like, is this the next step? Is this next step the right one?
Yeah, that's so good. I don't know if you've ever read the book called The Big Leap. I think it's by Gay Hendricks, but he talks about you get in your zone of competence. And I was very much in my zone of competence with my corporate job. And then I've gotten into my zone of competence with what I do now too. But, and he really talks about that's what you're expected of, what others expect of you, maybe your people you're working with or the people, you know, even your spouse or your family. It's like, oh, that's what she does. She's an accountant. Yep. She's good at that. And then, but inside you kind of know, like, but I have these other things that I think I could actually be doing a lot more with or better with. And that's more your zone of excellence, zone of genius. That's where you ultimately want to get. And that has really helped me too, to know that, okay, if I have skills or strengths, I don't even want to call them passions, because a lot of times we don't even know until we start trying them.
Right.
I got to lean into them and like tap into that and play around with some things. And then you kind of uncover like, yep, this is my next step. Mm-hmm. I'm going to move out of the comfy, cozy, complacent zone. The competent, it might even feel like the competent zone. And I'm going to start evolving into the next chapter of myself. Because isn't that what we're supposed to do as humans anyway?
Exactly. And you know, I gave an analogy the other day. I don't remember if it was on a podcast or not. I talk and it could be on a coaching call. I have no idea. Yeah. But it was one of those things where I was like, you know, we don't beat ourselves up for when we want to change a style in our wardrobe, where we're like, you know what? I haven't worn a dress in a while, like pencil skirts, right? Like when we ditched the pencil skirt, we weren't like, oh my gosh, what is so-and-so going to say about this? Because I put on yoga pants today.
Yeah.
And make it a bigger deal. However, we do that all the time as entrepreneurs of, but I'm known for this right now, but I feel the need to put on those yoga pants, to put on that pencil skirt, to do whatever. And we wait often too long. I'll raise both hands, right? Like I've done this many times, because we need to be honest with ourselves. But oftentimes it's like, at least for people like you and I, it's, we're just going. And it's easy to keep going and not take that pause. I'm getting better about that, but it's been a hard lesson to learn.
Yeah, no, that's good. And, but I think you have a skill, Amanda, in going back to the multi-passionate thing or getting bored. There's something really important and needed about sticking with something long enough to see it through and to see if it works. You know, like I see people starting side hustles all the time. They're like, oh yeah, no, not that. It's like, well,
right.
You're going to have to roll up your sleeves and kind of get gritty and to really and give it probably a year, even 2 years to know. So I think we can get too multi-passionate or too like multi-focused and then there's no focus.
It is a balance. You're right. And, you know, I think that's why the people that come to my virtual doorstep end up there, because they've tried the, I'm going to do all these different things. And now I'm like, I'm not doing anything. Speaking of books, I don't know what's right over here. Essentialism. Have you read it? Essentialism is one of my favorite books. And I tell people this all the time. I read it once a year because that's smart. Need the reminder to focus on one thing. And the multi-passionates in my audience hate it when I say that, because they're like, but Amanda, I have more than one idea. Yeah. And the thing is, and I'll make sure to put this in the show notes. There's a visual that I always recommend people look at. And it's this circle that has a lot of arrows going out from the circle. And it's like short arrows, like maybe an inch going out in all directions of the circle. And that's when you're spending a lot of energy on a lot of projects. So you can get a little bit of progress on all of them. Then there's another circle right next to it with one long arrow all the way up to the top of the page. And it's, if you can put your focus on one thing for a period of time, you can most likely make more progress.
Yes.
And so if we can focus in, that's why I suggest using 90-day goals, even though it takes more than 90 days to build a business. Yeah. You can focus on something for 90 days, you'll have a better idea of if you want to keep going with that specific thing. Do you agree?
I totally agree. Yeah. The book, Gary Keller, The One Thing, it's kind of the same philosophy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's missing for a lot of people because I think social media has a lot to do with it. It's like, oh, I should try that. I should try that. Maybe that. And it's like, just, you know, pick a lane and go and get really focused in that lane, because I think that's where the big growth happens.
Absolutely. For sure. I mean, but it's so easy. I say all of that and you say all of that. It's very easy to want to do it all. I want to do a lot in my business. I'm certain you do too. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to say and hard to do for sure, but I love what you have shared today, and thank you for digging into that idea of being grateful for what we have and what we're experiencing, but also being totally okay with striving for more and understanding what that more is. So if someone is like, you know, hanging on every word at this moment, like what any last minute advice or suggestions would you have for them if they're in that feeling of like, they're not really sure what their more is?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it is self-awareness and digging into yourself and paying attention to what did strike a chord as you listen to this or Amanda's other episodes. Because what I've really learned is that women can live outside the box, right? And we get really fixated on like life inside a box. And I love teaching women, like, create your own box. Like, there's no box.
I love
right?
that.
like really living life on your terms. It's possible. And it's 2023. And there are so many opportunities and ways to do it different. Like, you got to have the courage to go for it and start something, start small, and then you can scale it as you go, like Amanda and I have. But that's what I love teaching women the most, is that your path gets to be your path and it's nobody else's.
Gosh, I love that so much. And speaking of that, where can people find out more about you and work with you and all the good stuff?
Yeah, I hang out on Instagram a lot, molly.asplin. So you can kind of, you know, head over there for like my daily stories and behind the scenes kind of things. Otherwise, mollyasplin.com is my website, and you can learn more about my business and background there.
Thank you so very much, Molly. It has been such a pleasure talking to you today.
Awesome. Thanks, Amanda.
Told you that was going to be a lovely conversation, and I really hope you enjoyed it. Whether you're taking a walk, doing the dishes, whatever you're doing today, driving around, I hope you really enjoyed Molly and I talking and really understanding that it's absolutely possible to be grateful for everything that you have and also strive for more. But truly understanding what more is the key. And I hope that was the thing that you hold on to. That's your next step, my dear friend, is figuring out what your more is. Really understanding what you want more of and why you want more of that, how it can give you that successful feeling, is going to help you unapologetically pursue it. Because once you really understand what more is, you're like, okay, I'm ready to go and get after it. So that's what I want you to explore today. And I will leave you with Molly's words, because I just thought these were absolutely lovely. So I'm going to read her words again to you. She said, create your own box, really living life on your terms. It's possible. And there are so many opportunities and ways to do it different. You have to have the courage to go for it and start something. Start small and scale it as you go. Your path gets to be your path and no one else's. Gosh, it's so good. So enjoy that. Find out what your more is. And until next time, give yourself permission to be grateful and also want more and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon.